I'm just looking at these NBA standings and results here. How about it, Kyle Draper? Looks like the Kings, even though they didn't play last night, they had another productive night.
Exactly. You know, moving on up like the Jeffersons out there, if you will, separating themselves from the Dallas Mavericks and the Phoenix Suns a little bit and creeping on the heels of the New Orleans Pelicans. It was a good day last night for the Kings.
Yeah. Here's a playoff picture if the playoffs started today, as you probably know. But it's just nice to look at this, isn't it? You got your 9-10 play-in, Lakers-Warriors.
Jokers.
And I know this could change. But 7-8 right now, Suns and Mavericks. And so your Kings would be getting ready to play a best-of-seven series against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
And I would welcome that matchup.
Yeah, me too.
That's a team we've beat twice in their place. And so hopefully we learn, Kings fans, and we have learned that a hiccup here in December, a cough in January, a sneeze in February, even a sniffle in March doesn't derail the entire season, Whitey.
Right.
Like,
right.
All the doom and gloom about, remember even back at the Houston games, the two in Houston way back when, we had people ready to get rid of their season tickets. And here we are, this Kings team, by the end of the weekend, could be tied for fifth.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, that's a great attitude. I was one of those people for much of that. And then after the Houston game, we just decided, you know, it's like, that's done now. Just look, we got to look ahead. They have opportunities ahead of them now. Whatever happened, oh, if they'd won that game, they'd be this. It doesn't matter. Here they are. They're in great shape.
They're in amazing shape right now. And
best of all, they're playing well.
They're playing well. They're playing their brand of basketball. Mike Brown seems happy, you know, with what he's seeing from his squad the last couple of games. And this is when you want to be playing your best basketball. Look at the teams around the Sacramento Kings right now. Who's playing well? Who's playing better than the Kings at this very moment?
Nobody.
That's what I'm saying. And so we could talk about, the Clippers. Well, they're reeling a little bit right now. They got a nice win last night, I believe. But the Phoenix Suns, they got some issues. Dallas, Luka's hurt. Like, those other teams, Lakers and Warriors, they're in our rearview mirror. Those other teams we're not worried about. The Kings right now are one of the hottest teams in that little cluster in the Western Conference.
What especially about the way the Kings like to get it done is going to be challenged against the Knicks. Physical team, aren't they?
Very physical team. You know, I think as I watch the New York Knicks, and I'm a deep dive into them tonight and early tomorrow, I'm on the call tomorrow, they play the style that Mike Brown wants this team to. You talk about physicality, like they get up in you, you know? Jalen Brunson, he's physical on both ends of the floor. Josh Hart, you know, Josh Hart to me, to a lesser extent, is cut from the same cloth as a Dylan Brooks, as a Marcus Smart, an agitator, a guy that's not going to back down. Then you got Dante DiVincenzo, and OG Anunoby is back. Mm-hmm. I know he's not looking great right now, but he's back. You're talking about a 3-and-D guy. And then the big man in the middle, the all-world center, Isaiah Hartenstein. Yes, Isaiah Hartenstein.
Top 100 players.
Top 100 player in the league. And so this Knicks team, man, they play hard. They reflect their coach. And I feel like that's where the Kings are trending to as well.
Josh Hart is what, 6'4"?
Yeah, about that. Yeah, sounds about right.
And so he's playing more now because Julius Randle's out, right?
Randle was out. And yeah, they've had.
So have you seen, and I know you said you haven't done all your homework yet, and you will. Have you by chance seen Josh Hart's rebounding numbers the last four games?
I would imagine they've been tremendous because, I think I heard this a couple games ago, like where he was just snatching everything. What do you got for him?
Here's his last five games.
Yeah.
8 rebounds, 7, 11, 19, and 15.
That's what I heard, the 19 game. Whoa. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so this guy, he's a load, man, and he's found his niche in New York, and to me, he's one of those players that, you know, is all, like, you just can't get rid of him. Like, he's like a gnat. You're trying to swat him away. And everywhere you go, he's going to be at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how this Knicks team is, man. It's going to be a big test tomorrow.
Yeah, Josh Hart plays the way the Kings need to play every game.
Exactly. Because one thing, Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, and I'm going to throw DiVincenzo, it's not all
former
sweet.
Former King DiVincenzo.
Yeah, we had a cup of coffee here in Sacramento. Former Warrior DiVincenzo.
Yes.
One thing about those guys, when they step in between the lines, they got a pulse. You know what I mean? It's not all sweet. It's not a Sunday drive or anything like that. No, these guys are ready to do business. They're ready to stand on business. And so I understand, Kings fans, we're excited. We're feeling good. But hopefully our boys are listening right now. They got to come with their hard hats tomorrow. This is one of those get out of the muds, because you're not going to be able to punk the New York Knicks.
Right, right. Did you hear what your guy, I'm not sure he's your guy. Everybody's your guy. But Draymond Green, is he your guy?
In this instance, yes, he's my guy.
In this instance?
In this, because I love Draymond Green. We're going to get to it. But the content that he provides, I love it, man. I love Draymond in his role outside of basketball.
Draymond Green on the Draymond Green Show, talking about Domas' record versus Anthony Davis, which is 10-0 now?
10-0.
Yeah, and we probably will play the audio at some point here, but just to catch up, everybody making such a huge deal out of AD being 0-10 facing Sabonis. Everybody's like, oh, is that a coincidence? Do you make anything of that? It's interesting because the first thing I ever heard, first time I ever heard of it, was AD being 0-9. Then you go into road game at Zach, you lose the game, and everybody says, see, now he's 0-10. Green says, I actually view that as one of those coincidence-type things. Mm. Like, do we really believe that Sabonis is better than AD or could be a tough matchup? Everybody has tough matchups. He goes on to say, you know, you got the teams involved, and Fox is better than the Laker guards. Given no credit. Once again, he's trying to, Draymond's trying to stomp on Sabonis' 10-0 record against AD.
You know, it's Draymond being Draymond, first of all. And we know him and Sabonis have some history,
right,
if you will. And so, you know, I think Draymond's coming to defense of AD because, I'll be honest, I like AD. I liked him when he was at Kentucky. Had a chance to, you know, with John Calipari back when I was there. I'm an AD fan, and I think he's a future Hall of Famer.
No question.
I think we're sort of blowing it out of proportion just a little bit here in Sacramento.
Really?
Just a little bit?
Uh-huh.
Yes, yes. Because if what Draymond said also, and we'll play this a little later, you got to include De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox has owned the Lakers. De'Aaron Fox plays some of his best basketball against the Lakers. And I think outside of the previous two games against AD's numbers historically are actually better than Domas when it comes to the head-to-head matchup. And so I think it's become something now because we're aware of this record and everything, and now we're looking for it. But when you look at the numbers statistically prior to these last two, I'm saying, you know, AD has pretty much held his own or had better numbers. And then throw in the fact that De'Aaron Fox, before last game, was averaging 36.5 points against the Lakers per game in the first three. Like, that counts also. It's not a mano-a-mano thing.
Well, that's exactly what he said. Yeah. And as you
so I tend to agree to it. And you know, we're yucking it up. We're sopping it up. Like, we love it. It's like chum in the water for us as Kings fans. And I get it, but it is kind of a coincidence. I will say though, he owned him last game. Like, last game, I thought this past week here, that looked more personal. That looked more like an undressing than the previous games were.
I'm sure what you said made a lot of sense. And yet, Jay in the back, Jay was nodding. You
know, Jay was nodding?
You say Jay's always disagreeing with you. Jay was nodding in agreement. But I didn't hear everything you said because I was distracted partway through by this image of Domas standing there flexing while Anthony Davis is in the fetal position, grabbing his face. So I know, you know, 10-0 is, you can make too much of that. But like you said, we all knew what the record was. And it's like, all right, AD, what are you going to do about it? And he did nothing.
Fellas, real quick, let me throw that in there. Throw this in there. Guess who they're both represented by? Draymond, AD.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Remember that, too.
Yeah, that's,
and hence why the De'Aaron kind of flows in there. Like, Draymond's a business guy. He knows what he's doing, hence the podcast, hence calling out certain topics that he knows is going to get some love. And like Drapes just said, both of you guys, he's going to play he's going to play the antagonist, right?
Yeah.
And so don't let it slip out the fact that they're both clutch sports guys.
Yeah.
Like, that matters, man.
Who, I forget the name of the author of the book, The Victory Machine, about Kevin Durant's last year with the Warriors. Ethan Strauss, I think.
Yeah, Ethan.
Really interesting book. One of the things he said here, guys, is this where we are? He said, NBA players now, they're more loyal to like their shoe companies and their agents than they are to their teams. Are we getting to that point? Maybe that's
we're there.
Thing. Are really? We there?
Absolutely.
Nah, Jay, don't that. Do that. Don't do that.
We're
Jay.
There.
Are you saying De'Aaron Fox is?
No, because he's okay. not that guy.
But
he's
with Clutch.
Yeah, but
he's with Steph Curry.
Yeah, but
you're
but
saying
let me
some
say this.
Guys.
Yes, okay. And that's the thing. The reason why De'Aaron's not that type of cat because he's had an opportunity to already jump ship. So we've seen, and he's one thing we continue to argue about De'Aaron about is like we need him to be a little more open. We need him to be that type of guy. We need that type of action mm-hmm. for Sacramento to become a bigger scene setter. You can't tell me. Like, we're talking about $200 million deals yeah. with Nike and all that type of stuff. We're talking about people, even De'Aaron. De'Aaron even kind of went through like, look, I want to be wanted. I don't want to just jump back with Nike. I need to be wanted. I want to be, you know, people have to come to me. Guys, you got to be fooling yourself if you don't think brands – being a brand member, an ambassador,
I just don't
a sponsor. Nah, come on, man.
You know what it is, guys.
Money moving needles.
Money
brother.
Moving needles. And these guys, and we're talking the top of the top, the stars. Mm-hmm. We're not talking the ninth, tenth man on the roster. These guys know the power that they have. And so whether they play for the Celtics, the Kings, or whatever, somebody's going to pay them because they're that great. Kevin Durant could go wherever he wants. Devin Booker can go. So to your point, the team really doesn't matter
Mm-mm.
because no matter what team they're on,
right.
they're so great. Like, they make the team. The team doesn't make them, if you
and
will.
Think about this real fast. All-star, Whitey, Drapes, we've all been there. You just there last year.
Mm-hmm.
What happens during All-Star weekend? The team's not parading you around.
Right. It's your agent and your
come
brand.
Come on now, your brand. You're going to 14 different Nike events.
Now, you guys remember, though, there was a time when you knew, watch the game, the Celtics couldn't stand the Pistons, right? The
right.
uniform. And the Lakers couldn't stand the Celtics. And that made it more entertaining. Devin Booker had something interesting to say this week about how those days are gone.
Yes.
And we'll tell you about that when we come right back here. Drive, guys. Sacktowns, we're just chopping up the fact that Draymond Green says Domas' 10-0 record against AD says coincidence. And Drapes and Jay kind of say, yeah, you know, in all fairness, there's something to that. But Jay pointed out that, well, you got to remember also, Draymond and AD have the same agent.
Mm.
So we started talking about how now players, it seems in some instances, maybe NBA players are more loyal, some of them anyway, to their shoe companies and their agents than they are to their teams. And that brought up this. Devin Booker addressed this week. He was asked about rivalries. I think he was on with, is JJ Redick your guy?
Not really. He's okay, but you know.
All right. So there's a very few guys that are not your guys. So I gotta
write that down. It's probably an easier exercise to write down who's not my guy
right.
than who is.
Right,
yes.
right. So he was asked about these rivalries. Like we said, like if you've been watching the game for a while, you know about the Bulls and the Pistons and the Lakers and the Celtics, and they hated each other. They hated the teams. I remember there was a movie, was it Amazing Grace and Chuck? And in it, Alex English played a Celtic.
Mm.
And Julius Erving said, I would never put on a Celtic jersey, even in a movie. Yeah. But Devin Booker says, quote, I'd say there's no real rivalries because of grassroots basketball. Mm. A lot of these guys we've known for a really long time. And I think people just realize that it's not that deep half the time. People always say they're not really about to fight on the court. They're really not about to do that. That's a $500,000 fight. Like, nobody should do that. I haven't heard too many times that crazy lines were crossed on the court, but it has happened. I've seen people handle it behind the scenes in the correct way, like it should.
Mm. Where's he wrong? Where's the lie at?
He's not wrong. There's just an implication to me or an inference that it mattered more to players before. You know, that... Now the money matters more than it used to, and which is understandable because it's so much more.
It's so
money.
Much more, right? Trust me. Back in the 70s, or the 60s, if Wilt was being paid $30 million, and money would matter a lot. Here's the thing about what Devin Booker was saying, and this is what we got to understand, and he's 100% right, because back in the day, Whitey, you know how you knew about the other great players in your high school class or youth class? Maybe word of mouth, maybe in a newspaper,
mm-hmm.
you know,
newspaper.
Street and Smith rankings or whatever,
yeah.
or,
yeah.
you know, although, you know, like, but now a lot of times you team up with these guys mm-hmm. or you see him at tournaments all the time. And I'm talking from a very early age. I'm not just talking 11th, 12th grade. Like the youth basketball circuit now, I mean, we got 4th and 5th graders traveling, you know, up and down California, going to Vegas. And so you get to know these guys. Whereas back in the day, the only time you interacted was head-to-head, maybe once a year, maybe at ABCD camp or something like that. But that's even in the 90s. That's not in the 70s and early 80s.
You're right.
And so it's a different game now, man.
Yeah. In addition to that, you got players changing teams so often. There was somebody, Malik was talking to the media after the last game. No, I guess it was the Bucks game. And then somebody walked by and said, hey, something to him, and he laughed. And I looked, I think it was like Jay Crowder. You know, yeah, they're like, they're really buddy-buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that happens all the time. What's interesting, though, is you know that Devin Booker says this, and he's right, but what happens when he plays against Luka?
Right. Now, there's some spicy there. There's so there are some.
But
some,
it's more individual.
It's not Phoenix Mavs. Right. Yeah. Like, it's Devin Booker, Luka. And we can always also go back to the late, great David Stern. He changed the marketing from a team to the individuals. You look at Bird and Magic. It was about Lakers-Celtics, great rival, one of the greatest. And, you know, they were great teams. But it started to be Bird and Magic, Jordan, Isaiah. You know, it became, you know, he started marketing the individuals. And even to this day, when you watch an ESPN promo or a TNT promo, it's Luka and the Mavs versus Booker and the Suns. You know, it's not about the laundry that these guys are wearing. It's about the individual.
Yeah.
And I can't, you know, and that's one thing that bothers me. And we get on these players so much for lack of competitiveness, you know, lack of a rivalry. But they're just a product of how they've been brought up. And so who really is to blame, Whitey? Is it the players? Or is it the environment they were brought up in, meaning the adults at the time?
Yeah, you can't blame the players when, as you say, in AAU ball now, you're brought up, you play with all these guys.
Right, yeah.
It's interesting what you said about it. David Stern deciding that we would focus on the individuals and not the teams. When Silver took over, Adam Silver, I remember him saying, oh, we're going to focus more on teams now. We're going to get away from that. They never have.
It hasn't happened, right?
I think people like, I don't want that.
Right.
I want you to focus on the superstars.
It's the superstars. They drive the league. And, you know, and that goes back to my point I said last segment. These stars understand their power right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, De'Aaron Fox, love him to death. I hope he stays here in Sacramento. But the odds of a player staying with one franchise, especially if you don't win and as you get later, you want to chase a ring. Those days are over, man.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a handful of those. You know, Kobe, Dirk. Who's going to be like this iteration, you think? I don't know.
I was asking some people this week. I asked the G-Man. He wasn't really sure. Who in the history of the Kings, Royals, all that, who's the best player in the history of this franchise who only played for this franchise? And it is a tough one.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, and it might be De'Aaron Fox right now.
Right.
Because so many guys, especially because of the nature of the Kings franchise, they haven't always been a great franchise. You had guys like, you know, Oscar Robertson was here, but then he got traded. You know, like Chris Webber was somewhere else, and then he got brought in. Mitch Richmond, too. So, I don't know. But it's, it's increasingly rare. It's, you know, you start talking about De'Aaron Fox in those terms, I get a little anxious, but it's a fair question. We just don't have to worry about it now.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about it now, exactly. And I'm looking at the chat line, 916-339-1140. Our guy, Folsom Mike.
Here we go.
I'm going to say our guy today. I'm sorry, we spend a ton of time at Hardwood Palace, and these kids, this is Folsom Mike's words, guys, these kids are punks, and their parents are worse. No one is friends out there, that's for sure. And I've been out there at Hardwood Palace. It gets real out there. It gets real. But as you come up, I think what you're seeing is, you know, these guys, they're friends, man. They're looking to team up. And here's the thing, too, about the NBA. Can I get something off my chest? We get mad at these guys for chasing rings, switching teams or whatever. I am all for player movement. Players choosing where they want to go. I'm a big proponent of free agency. And here's why. we got it in our field of work.
Of course.
You know, we could, hey, we don't like it here, we can go somewhere else. Why would you want to condemn someone to stay in a place they don't want to be at, you know? And also, we don't have a problem when the organization trades them. So why can't the players make the decision and go, if you're LeBron, go to Lakers or go back to Cleveland or whatever? Why do we have that problem?
Good like, point.
Yeah. The old days are over, Whitey. This isn't the 60s or 70s or 80s anymore. This is how it's been, I think, for the last 20 years.
I agree with that. I still think there's something to be said for the guy that sticks it out. But before we get to that, the thing about Folsom Mike, maybe he's right. You know, maybe the kids all hate each other. But Drapes, correct me if I'm wrong, you're talking about the best of the best
at
Hardwood Palace or wherever. And then they end up playing the best in the Bay Area. I mean, the elite guys. And they get to know each other. They're at camps and things.
Right, this is the upper level,
Yeah, so by the time they're on this team or that team, they've spent a lot of time
together, playing with each other, playing against. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and he talked about a team he had, and he has two teams. One is just the regular, but then the other team is the elite of the elite. And they come from all over, like you were saying. It isn't just from Sac or isn't just from Rockland or Granite Bay or wherever we're talking about. It's from people all over.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Now, to the point you made about why shouldn't players be able to switch teams, I agree with you. I've always thought that. They should. They should be able to. And if a guy wants to go here or there for whatever reason, bless him. That said, what a guy like Giannis did, the fact that he stuck it out, to me, his championship – to me, doesn't matter what it means to me, but that's just how I feel. It means more than it does for a guy that went to a team that was already in position to win a ring. I don't blame the guy that said, I'm going here. They're a really good team. Good for him. But a guy like Giannis, what he did, just to me, I think there's more weight to that.
What if there's, okay, let me give you one,
again,
someone
I'm
who's
not,
on your
I'm
team.
Not, yeah, again, a guy like LeBron went to Miami. They were good. That's great. They did great. I don't blame him for that. You shouldn't have done that. But what Giannis did to me is like, wow, on some level, that's harder and therefore more admirable to me.
What about Dame Lillard? He stuck it out in Portland and nothing happened.
Right.
And he's like, listen, man, I probably only have two, three good years. I got to go.
Yeah.
Do you still hold him in the same boat? Or are you like, oh, you're ring chasing and now you're run lower?
No, I didn't say ring chasing.
Okay.
So I understand your point. I don't blame him for wanting to get out of there. But if he'd stuck it out and if it had worked, it wasn't going to. So I don't blame him. He was smart to want to get out of there. That would have, to me, there's something more. It's just harder to do that way.
Yeah.
I respect that more. I respect both, but I respect that a little more.
And that's your opinion, and I'm not going to argue that. But I think when it comes down to players and moving around, winning a championship isn't just on the player. You got to have a coach. You got to have a front office.
You're right.
So Giannis, fortunately, he had a good coach.
Yeah.
They surrounded him with talent. And so if you're LeBron, your first stint in Cleveland, you're playing with Anderson Varejao, and you don't have faith in the organization, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Just toil away at that organization and hope that, you know, Dan Gilbert and whoever gets it together? Or do you take onus and say, you know what, I'm going to make the decisions. I'm not going to leave it up to this GM. I'm not going to leave it up to this head coach, because I think a lot of times, and we've talked about this before, the pressure on a player to win a ring, you're not great unless you win a ring. And so look at Dame Lillard. He just brought him up.
Mm-hmm.
One thing missing from him, a championship. You know, we look at TNT. They still get on Charles Barkley daily. Charles Barkley should have probably left sooner. Or should have teamed up with somebody, and then he wouldn't have, you know, be the butt of jokes with Shaq and those guys. Is there a certain amount of time, though, Whitey, where, okay, you played there for 10 years and it hasn't happened, now you can go?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Is there a certain amount of time where you're okay with a player, you know what, Dame Lillard, for instance, you gave it your all, it's not working, and now it's okay for you to go?
I also think, no matter what I think or what you think, I think we're getting to a point where nobody cares when someone does that. You know, there used to be a real stigma attached to that. It's like, wow, you're not going to stick it out, huh? Do it the hard way. Now I don't think people care, and I think within 10 years, no one's going to care at all. It'll be like, why did you stay? You
know, exactly.
What's wrong with you?
Exactly. You know, not to get, you know, on a different kind of tangent, but it's like, if you're unhappy – why would you stay in that situation? Why not make a change? And I think that's where we are as a society right now.
Coming up next, tell you why ESPN likes the Kings to grab the sixth seed. Ooh. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. What a Friday it is. You going to get out playing golf at all this weekend?
A little breezy. A little breezy, but, you know, I'm going to take my son, I think. We got the game tomorrow, obviously, so we'll be at that. But I'll probably hit some balls or go out and get nine in. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, it gets breezy around here on some of those courses. I shouldn't say this. Uh-oh. A couple of nights ago, we were talking, we're having dinner before the game, and I think it might have been right after you came in. Say, hey, everybody.
Yep.
And we're sitting there, and we're talking about golf courses, and Alan's there, Alan Stiles. They're talking about playing golf with Matt George or whoever. And I said, yeah, what, do you have a home course yet? And he goes, yeah, I like Hagen. And I was like, ah.
Oh. Alan Stiles said that? Yeah. No way. Oh, my God.
I'm upset.
He doesn't know. But I have to admit, I was just like, ah.
Oh, you're calling him out, Hagen. Too. That's what kind of friend are you, man? Wow. Like,
it was just
that's
funny.
Brutal.
He just got here.
So is he not listening to Golf to Go?
I know. Clearly he's not. I mean, I when he calls for the tea time, doesn't he? Hey, everybody, Hagen Oaks. No, they don't. Wow. Alan, man, he keeps digging himself deeper out here, man.
I bet he's got game.
You think so?
Yeah, he must. Baseball players hit the ball good, don't they? Are they all over the place?
No, it depends. Some of them have that home run swing where they're but he probably has game because I don't know his game, but he doesn't look like Aaron Judge, you know, so he's a contact hitter, if you will.
You know who's also really good? Hockey players, if you ever see that, whatever they call that tour. There's a lot of hockey players that are really good golfers.
Yeah. Because sort of a similar motion with the hockey stick, you know? So I'm not it good, though. You know what's so funny? My guy Tom Morton was texting him the other day.
He's out at Hagen, right?
He's at Hagen, yeah. Gave me the lesson the other day. I woke up this morning, and I'm like, what did Tom teach me? I sort of forgot. And so, because I haven't been out there in a couple of days, and so I might be starting from scratch when I go out this weekend.
Yeah. He's truly great because he's a guy, I mean, I've worked with him. He's the type of guy I'll say, hey, I heard you having a problem. Why don't you come over? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then 10 minutes he'll see you swing and go, oh, well, just do this drill. It's like, wow.
Right. Yeah. Simple. Yeah. And he has me doing. It's funny. I was working on something and I was next to the shed and he's like, all right, Kyle, do a swing, but don't hit the shed. You know? Ooh. And so I did it with one hand. You know, it was doing it. He's like, all right, now put your other hand on it. I'm like, whoosh, whoosh, hit the shed. And I was like, oh, he's like, no, Kyle, that's why the shed is there. Don't worry. You're not the first one. But no, it's if he can fix my game, he can fix anybody's.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Yeah. We got golf on here. We got the players and we got the A's and the Giants. And we got some news today that we'll get to. It's looking increasingly like the Sacramento A's are probably not going
to
happen.
Right. It looks like they may come to an agreement with Oakland, right? And stay there.
Looking that way. So we will get to that. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. Hey, let's welcome back Emmy joining us here on Sacktown Sports. How are you, Emmy?
So under the weather a little bit, but okay. First of all, happy St. Patrick's Day. I know it's early, but have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
I am hoping Sasha could be back, could be cleared for training as soon as Tuesday. I have some inside sources, but I'm very, very careful with spreading stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's your update on Sasha, huh?
She got the inside info.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Emmy.
Yeah. All right, Emmy.
Emmy's always
our
welcome.
Our Sasha correspondent.
She's always welcome on this show ever since she said, bang, bang, Niner gang. That was the best.
That was the best, yes.
It's been tough for her. We haven't heard from her because Sasha's been on the shelf.
Right, yeah. And when he does come back, does he have a spot?
He's going to have to earn one.
Yeah.
Still got an opportunity. Still right? You can make threes. We'll find a spot for you.
Exactly. His three-point shot off the bench, huge boost for the Kings. Yes.
The ESPN here has a look at how the West is going to go. It's an interesting piece at ESPN.com. They give the Kings 46.8% chance to end up with the sixth seed. Mm. Now, that's not even 50%, but it's higher than any other teams in their bunch, if you will. So any of the teams
below
them.
So the sixth seed.
Yeah, the highest of any team for the sixth seed. They need to talk to George Sedano, right? Somebody at ESPN needs to talk to George about that.
George, our guy. Well, George got him going to the Western Conference Finals.
Right, exactly.
So, he's got him going all the way. But I think I like the chances at the five seed. I'm coming around on that right now, Whitey. I know the Pelicans have owned us.
You have not been impressed by them all year. I'll say that.
I know. I've been out, right? And I just I think we can catch them. We're a game back right now. You still play them one more time. But I think the way the Kings are playing, I broke down the schedule yesterday, Whitey. And maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Maybe I'm jinxing the Kings. And if I am, I apologize to everyone.
It's time for all that now.
But look at the schedule. Look at the schedule. You got the Knicks. Tough team. But they're banged up a little bit. But still, tough team. If you can win that game, then go to Memphis. Toronto is reeling right now. Toronto is really struggling. Then you got Washington. So that could be a nice little five-game win streak right there, six-game win streak right there if you're Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And then you get into the Orlandos and the Pelicans and Dallas and all that. But I think it's right there for the Kings to take it.
You can slice that, as we've discussed, a number of ways on how difficult the schedule is. Here ESPN says, among the teams that are fighting to avoid the play-in crowd, only the Suns have a tougher remaining schedule than the Kings. Mm-hmm. But again, it's how you look at it. They also point out here, Kings one of eight teams with a winning record against teams 500 or better. But I also point out the Kings are 16-7 against teams with losing records.
Yeah, and you got to think, maybe that's me being optimist drapes. You got to think that they're going to turn that around. You got to think that 65, 66 games into the season that they'll finally learn their lesson that you can't give away these games.
Here's the really good news. And you know this if you've watched it, maybe, but I didn't know it was this dramatic. In March, the Kings own a top five offense and a top five net rating so far. Really early, but yeah, right now, they're doing what you hope your team is doing this time of year.
Exactly, and it's happening at the perfect time. And, you know, it's funny because a couple of days ago, we had the conversation about spray threes. And I was like, oh, Mike, I'm tired of these dang spray threes. Like, that's all you talk about. But we're seeing it the last two games. Like, we're seeing the offense execute the exact way that Mike and Jay and Jordy and Doug and all those guys won. It's get into the paint, hit them. And so, you know, I was thinking the other day when it comes to spray threes, it's like, we get it, Mike, we get it. Let's talk about something else. But that is so critical to this team's success, the spray three, that he has to keep hammering that.
There has been, according to ESPN, one bright spot lately on defense among this porous group. Second-year guard Keon Ellis!
ESPN giving him some love, huh?
Yes, yes. Yesterday we talked about the fact that the NBA now seems to be calling fewer fouls.
Yes.
And that even is slowing down tempo a little bit. Why? Because it's allowing teams to get more physical. You know, oh, they're not going to call it, so I can bump you. And then that's having the impact on pace. I think, maybe because I hope it, I think that can help the Kings. The Kings are challenged defensively. Now it's like, all right, guys, you can grab a little more. You can bump a little more. Mm-hmm. They're going to allow that. So maybe that actually helps them defensively.
I think, you know, when you look at him and a guy like Davion, too, I'll include in that. You're right. Like, the ability to be physical. Like, I feel like Davion's a physical defender. I'm going to throw Chris Duarte in there also. Chris Duarte is at the top of one of my guys. Like, he's up there on the team. But how many times have we seen Chris come in, he's pressuring the ball and gets whistled for a foul, you know, in the first half of the season? Now, if we're allowing that, this could transform this Kings defense.
Yeah, just even things up for him a little bit. Speaking of pace, don't you think tomorrow night's going to be a real battle of pace? The Knicks, they like to kind of slow it down, play in the mud a little bit.
Yeah, this is a half-court offense kind of team, talking about the New York Knicks. And contrasting styles, if you will. You know, Knicks are, and I got to look up the numbers, but they're a heavy, I would imagine, paint team, like paint touches, especially a guy like Jalen Brunson. And, this is you know, the old, it used to be like when we had the Celtics-Lakers rivalry, Showtime versus, you know, this is sort of like that. The Kings are a fast, upbeat team. The Knicks are a half-court, grinded out, you know, make you work kind of team. Contrasting styles tomorrow.
Yeah, Showtime versus Slow Time.
Yes.
When we come back, we thought that was a huge game for the Lakers. Maybe Wednesday didn't mean as much to the Lakers as we thought. Next with the Drive Guys, Sactown Sport.
March Madness.
We're getting some Kings, Knicks scatter reports here on the YouTube chat. Appreciate that. Your guy Ryan Williams Art says the Knicks play slow tempo. They'll try to clog the Kings' flow. Cole G points out Kings have to box out in caps. Box out. Knicks offense is miss a shot, an offensive rebound for a putback or open three. Their initial offense is terrible. They are, I believe, number one in offensive rebounding percentage, and the Kings are number one in defensive rebounding percentage.
Kings have done a great job limiting other teams' offensive rebounds. And so what's the old saying? Something's got to give tomorrow when these two teams play each other.
Curtis Hicks, Drapes, don't rule out the four seed.
Really?
Yeah.
That's some crazy talk right now. That's getting crazy with it. Clippers right now in that four spot. I did mention earlier, they're struggling right now. They got some issues with that team, injury issues, and I know they won last night. But right now, the Kings, four games behind the Clippers. That seems kind of insurmountable.
Especially when you have another team in between you, too.
Yeah, you got another team. And if we're saying don't count out the four seed for the Kings against the Clippers – then are we also saying don't count out the Warriors from the sixth seed? But, you know, it's like you can't have them both, right?
Mm-hmm,
and so I understand, you know, we want our Kings to finish as high as possible. I think realistically, mark it down. Kings in the five seed.
Wow.
I'm going five seed. I'm confident in my guys.
Sacramento.
Cole G says the fourth seed is possible, but I think the Kings would have to go on a 7 or 8 game winning streak. Yeah. That sounds reasonable.
That needs to happen. Yeah, exactly. And then you got to hope, like we were just saying, you know, you got the Pelicans there also. You need them to lose a couple of games in that mix as well.
Now, as we discuss all these permutations, and this team's ahead of that team, and that team's ahead of this game, this many games ahead of that team, don't you assume that players are aware of that too?
They got to know right now, right?
Well, that's what I would think. But this was after the Kings beat the Lakers, and somebody was asking D'Angelo Russell about the standings. And, I mean, you tell me what this is.
What was at stake? Obviously, their team just right above you guys in the standing, a couple of spots ahead of you guys to stand. No one's at stake coming into tonight. Does that make this even more frustrating or even, just more frustrating?
I didn't know what was at stake.
They were two games ahead of you guys in the standings. Obviously, they already won the season series, but now they're three games ahead. And you guys are, I think, three behind for seventh now.
I mean, now I know what's at stake. What was
what?
That dude? I feel like that dude's checked out.
Is he trolling the question?
Yeah, maybe. You know, where he went wrong is, now I know what's at stake. Like, that's the part that makes it look bad. Because if he says, I didn't know what was at stake, you know, it could be talking about do or die, must win, and all, you know.
Yeah.
But he says, now I know. You know, I think he's checked out, man. Something's up with that guy. Because remember the article came out, too, where he talked about his relationship with Darvin Ham and how, Dennis Schroeder sort of impacted that. He seems like a guy that's biding his time to get out of L.A.
Jay, could we hear that one more time?
Knowing what was at stake, obviously their team just right above you guys in the standing, a couple of spots ahead of you guys to stand. No one's at stake coming into tonight. Does that make this even more frustrating or even, just more frustrating?
I didn't know what was at stake.
They were two games ahead of you guys in the standings. Obviously, they already won the season series, but now they're three games ahead, and you guys are, I think, three behind for seventh now.
I mean, now I know what's at stake.
Thank you for enlightening me.
Yeah.
Fellas, there was a few other like kind of weird things that night during that press conference too. So I'm with Drapes on this one, Whitey. I think he's checked out, man. I think he does, you know, and I think he also kind of wants to get Darvin Ham out, with them. I think he's gonna walk. There are a few other things that I saw on Twitter and from people in LA, like what is D-Lo talking about tonight? Where he was just kind of clueless during that press conference as well, too. So that wasn't the only thing.
Yeah. You know, Keon Ellis will do that to you.
Hey, we ain't heard from Dame Lillard since, have we? Since Keon locked him up. It's that shows to me that the Lakers are a mess right now. Like, you know, this isn't last year for them. Last year, you know, they made the trades at the deadline. Things were new, fresh. You got some new blood in there, Rui. You got D'Lo. The path was a little easier, mm-hmm. I think,
for them.
They were feeling
good a year ago.
Yeah, they were feeling great. The question is, did the Kings break the Lakers over the last week? Like, because remember, they came off a big win against Minnesota. They mm-hmm. were feeling good. And now they came into Sacramento and got their butts handed to them. And, you know, they don't look like a contender to me. And that's why I say them and the Warriors, they're in our rearview mirror. I'm not even focused on them anymore.
Did you hear what Darvin Ham said after the game?
No.
That raised some eyebrows. I don't think we have the audio. I didn't send it to Jay, so that's on me if we don't have it, if it's out there. But he said...
about the offense. He was talking about offense.
Yeah. He said, you know, I wish I could ask them what they're going to run every time they come down the floor so that we could just know. Do we have that? I think we're going to get that.
Was that Darvin Ham that
he said,
said
I wish that? I wish Mike Brown would just tell us what they're going to run so we could just stop it instead of having to make second and third efforts to try to stop their offense. So he's trying to take a shot at how bad their defense is. Like, gee, if they just tell us and we don't have to try to, then it'd be easy. We wouldn't have to try to stop them. So hard.
That's a little tongue-in-cheek, right? That's a little...
I don't know. The tongue-in-cheek or is like, man, I got some dogs.
It's
not in a good way, defensively.
I was down in L.A. last week when we played them and, you know, talking to some people. And that's the Darvin Ham situation is kind of weird. It's kind of because the fan base wants him out. At times, it seems like the players want him. But I think Rob Pelinka and Jeannie are backing him. And so it might be one of those, you know, power plays, if you will, where, you know, you talked about D'Lo maybe wanting Darvin Ham out. Well, maybe he's not playing as hard. Maybe he's not, you know, trying as hard. Maybe he's playing like he didn't know what was at stake the other night.
Remember, the Kings destroyed the Lakers offensively. Mm-hmm. Lakers actually scored. I mean, their offense... especially the first half. Their offense was okay. Their numbers are good. But here was Darvin Ham, Laker coach, after the game, talking about how the Lakers couldn't stop the Kings.
I wish I could tell Mike Brown, please come down to this, to when you play offense, just let us know what you're going to run in so we can, you know, stop it and not have to, you know, give second and third efforts.
Or is that a shot at LeBron James? Because the clips, you know, our boy Chris Watkins spliced up some clips and LeBron, his effort level on the defensive end, it's non-existent.
Right.
Like HB was, you know, shooting warm-up shots. LeBron gave him that much room. And so that's what I'm saying. They are a broken franchise right now because this isn't their year. I don't think, you know, they don't have the draft picks. I guess they do have picks that they could do something, but does a Trae Young put you over the top? Like, I don't know. You got two aging superstars, LeBron and AD's now 31. AD's got his ring, you know? And so I just wonder, what's the future of the Lakers? Where do they go from here? It's sort of like the Warriors to an extent, but at least, you know, it's still good vibes. Steph Curry, you know, you got some hope maybe with some of the young players. The Lakers don't have any young, impactful players.
They also have clear dysfunction. You know, we talked about this yesterday, teams' cultures. And when you have the coach going one way and one of the players going in another way, and as you said, we're not sure which way LeBron's going, but it may not be the same way ownership is going.
Yeah.
So then you don't have everybody headed in the same direction. You got, for an aging team that's struggling, you got no chance, basically.
And you know,
it's time for that funeral, Jay.
That's coming up. When's the last day of the season? April 12th or something like that?
Like 14th? 15th?
Yeah, something like that. We'll have it then.
Another month? That's it?
Yeah,
wow.
You didn't know that?
Well, yeah. I did. It's just, you know, you just realize it.
To yes. 14th.
Stunned.
April 14th is the last game of the regular season.
Yep. All right. Well, good luck to Darvin Ham. Yeah, if he's as you suggest, taking a shot at LeBron, he might as well just drive to the other
Right, right. Don't even go back home, right? Like, you know, just catch commercial flight back, you know? It's, I tell you what, though. As a Kings fan and a Kings broadcaster, nothing pleases me more than to see dysfunction from the other California teams. For so many years, we were the ones being beat up on, laughed at, ridiculed. And now it's the Lakers and Warriors.
Team. Right. And that said, I know, you know, we all know there's still a long ways to go.
Still some time, yeah.
A lot of pizza left in the box. Yes, when we come back, it is looking more and more and more like the Sacramento A's ain't happening. Tell you why with the Drive Guys when we get right back here in this Friday, Sacktown Sports.